This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Hey guys, it's Damon from the PureCast. The New Japan PureCast is proudly sponsored by GaijinCollectibles.com, your number one source for Japanese wrestling merchandise shipped straight from Japan to your mailbox. Check out their selection of in-stock merch like t-shirts, action figures, magazines, trading cards, or use their purchasing service to order items from Japanese websites like the New Japan Shop. Like them on Facebook, follow them on Twitter, GaijinCollectibles.com.
Hi, I'm Kenny Omega, and you are listening to the New Japan PureCast. You fools!
All right, everyone. Welcome to this week's edition of the New Japan PureCast, your weekly audio source for all things in the world of New Japan Pro Wrestling. My name is Colin Miller, being joined alongside, as always, by Mr. Derek, that's Damon McDonald, excuse me. And Damon, boy, do we have a show to talk about today, because today, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to be reviewing this morning's Dominion show from Osaka, Joe Hall. Damon, you want me to start off this week's show with a hot take?
I want the hottest of the hot, buddy, because I'm fired out of a cannon this week. Between the good news from our reestablished relationship with Kevin Kelly to all the fun stuff that happened this weekend. What do you got?
I am going to go on record right here, right now, and I'm going to say that Kazuchika Okada is the greatest IWGP heavyweight champion in history.
Mm. Well, look, he's having what is easily a career-defining year, one of the greatest years of any pro wrestler of all time. People like to throw around the Ric Flair 89. I was living it, saw it all. The man is, it's almost like he's wrestling to prove a point at this point. Like he's wrestling to say, fuck everyone in the mouth, because this is going to be my year. Like he had to have sat down and had a one-to-one conversation with himself and said, okay, this, what do I have to do to be considered the greatest in the world? And this year, Colin, kid you not, what else could the guy, if there was no more Okada in 2017, he would still win Wrestler of the Year. I don't know how anyone could possibly have a second half of this year to match the first half that Okada has had. Okada has had a half a year better than just about any other person who's won Wrestler of the Year. I dare the venture.
Okada at 29 years of age is going to go down as one of the all-time great legends of this business. I mean, just think about the matches that he has had in 2017 thus far. Of course, the six-star classic from the Tokyo Dome that you witnessed live, Damon.
Yes.
The battle with Shibata, the war with Suzuki, and now this, Okada Omega 2, a roller coaster of a match that just kept me on the edge of my seat. I felt like I was having an out-of-body experience at one point.
I couldn't believe what I was watching. It's unbelievable. And here's the thing. One, to me, we sat here last week and we were somewhat concerned of how in the fuck could they possibly do it, right? We put a lot of pressure on those two, didn't we, Colin? And not that they give a shit about what we think, but you get my point. I think the whole wrestling world, eyeballs were glued to their televisions in anticipation for this match. Is that a fair statement?
I think that is a fair assessment, Derek. Damn it.
That he busted my ball so hard for that. And I'm like, you imagine waking up and to your phone and seeing it, it explode with how Kevin Kelly buries you.
Well, like, hey, we got another mention this morning.
I did, and he did. And again, he's doing it to bust our balls. But he did give us a shout out. And listen, he is a sweetheart for doing it because he doesn't have to. He absolutely does not have to. He does it out of the kindness of his heart. And we say it every time, and we get a huge bump from it. And he is a good dude. He's a fine fucking good dude. And I owe him a beer or two. That's for sure. Colin, they matched it, right? They matched the dome, right?
Well, here's the thing. I said last week that there was really no point in trying to recreate the magic that they had at the Tokyo Dome. Instead, they should go and they should try and make this match an entirely different animal that can stand on its own. And I think that they did just that. I mean, it didn't even cross my mind before the match that there was the possibility of a 60-minute time limit draw. And I think that this match was unique in its own right.
Colin, we talked about a time limit draw on the show. We discussed a time limit draw. I'm almost certain we did, didn't we?
I don't. The only time that I can remember us discussing a time limit draw was Okada and Tanahashi. I don't remember talking about an Omega Okada draw. I could be wrong. I mean, a lot of these episodes kind of run together, folks, as you can imagine. But boy,
I'm telling you,
what a war!
I mean, the biggest, yeah, what a war! It didn't feel like an hour, that's for sure.
No, when they said when I was listening to the English commentary, you know, and when Kevin Kelly said that they've gone 50 minutes now, I was like, what? I've been watching this for 50 minutes? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, and this is me, right? You know me, Colin.
Oh, short attention span, Damon.
Oh my God, I can't do it. I can't sit through a fucking movie. Like, I can't sit through sitcoms sometimes.
We could never date, Damon. Do you know that? It's just
never date.
Yeah, no, me and you, it wouldn't work out between us because you can't watch movies, you can't watch sitcoms. I mean, that's most of my activities here that are being taken away. So
yeah, plus I'm a rough lover.
I see. You know me. I'm a romantic. But anyway,
yeah. Colin, it flew by. Like, you hear the ring announcer hitting the timestamps, you know, hitting 15, what, you know, 20 minutes, 30 minutes. And you're like, wow, that was like, you're just like, okay. Did they ever grab a hold? You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't like he back in the day when you heard, like, when Bob Backlund would fucking work a 60 minute draw with like Don Morocco, right? Looks, let's be truthful. 20 minutes, at least fucking 20 minutes of it was just, you know, chin lock, trapezius, nerve hold, arm barb. Just, you know, we're trying to shave time off. Colin, they went fucking pedal to the metal, balls to the wall, right? It was the pace of this match was unbelievable. Colin, there are, again, we're going to jump around on this match alone, but like that drop kick. First of all, Kenny, there's no one in the fucking business who ragdolls better than Kenny Omega.
I'm going to have to agree with you there. He excels at that.
When he gets nailed with something, boy, oh fucking boy, does he get nailed with something, right? Nobody does that better. And that drop kick that Okada, oh, he fucking tore him up. Oh. And
there were numerous drop kicks.
The best part, Colin, the best drop kick, and this was toward the end of the match. And I guess what is it? Don Callis, he kind of plays Bullet Club. I rarely listen to the English side, truth be told, but of course I had to listen to it because they mentioned us. But I will say this too, I think they did a good job.
Oh,
I think
the English
commentary did a very fucking good job, especially in this match.
Yeah, I'm going to have to agree with you there. I was thinking during the event, if you go back and you listen to the first show that Kevin Kelly did with Don Callis, I forget which one it was earlier in the year. I think it was New Beginning, but
it's right at the Dash. Yeah,
yeah. It is night and day. They have found such a groove, and I told Kevin Kelly this. You know, he sent us a kind message. You know, telling us that we were spot on with our Best of the Super Juniors review. And
oh,
I said,
did he?
Yeah,
oh,
he did.
Kind of.
I said,
I didn't know
you
that.
Know. Hey, man, you guys, you and Don have found a really nice groove and you play off of each other perfectly. So, yeah, props to Kevin Kelly, Don Callis. Great work on the English commentary, especially for this match.
I agree. Listen, and you know me, I'm the first to fucking, you know, just go pure Japanese commentary just because, you know, it is what it is. And no, I think they did. I think they really did a good job. And again, whatever. Okay. But the one thing that Callis, I think, said is, again, Okada kept cutting off Kenny with those fucking drop kicks, right? And at the end of the match, like, you know, as the closing's coming, and there was that one stretch where Okada hits that drop kick, and Callis goes, goddamn drop kick! And I popped out of my chair like, fuck yes! Oh, what a match, Colin.
At
I
one
swear
point,
to you.
It was like the passion of Kenny Omega at one point. I was like, oh my God, this guy is just being physically dissected. I mean, what did we see, like 10 Rainmakers?
Yeah, we saw quite a few, and that one kickout was pretty fucking tremendous. Look, again, Kenny Omega, what else can this guy do, right? What else could this guy do? He is just head and shoulders above just – look, you got two of the best pro wrestlers in the entire fucking world at their peak, in the same ring at the same time, doing magical things. Let me ask you this, Colin, because after this match, I couldn't believe what I was watching. Look, I think at the very least, I don't know if it beat Tokyo Dome. I don't know if it beat Tokyo Dome, but I'll tell you what, it's right there with it. They're neck and neck. They fit right together. So if that's 6 stars. Whatever you want to call it, I don't give a fuck. Those two matches are neck and neck.
I'll say this. They evoked the same emotions out of me that they pulled out of me when I was watching their Tokyo Dome match. I had a similar feeling in my breadbasket, if you will, of this.
I had an erection. I had an erection.
Pants down?
Oh, Colin. Here's what it is, Colin. I'm going to give you a because this is what I was thinking after the match. So what is my go-to like feud or pairing or matches, right? The trilogy, if you will, right? Okada Tanahashi,
of
right?
Of course.
So for me, that's like the holy grail. That's like what pro wrestlers should achieve to have in their career. And I'm thinking about this and I'm like, you know, these matches, these Okada and Omega matches, the best way I can describe it is this. You know that game, Marry, Fuck, Kill?
Yes.
Okay. So I want to marry Tanahashi and Okada matches. I want to fuck Okada and Omega matches.
Somebody's going to isolate that clip. I want to fuck Okada.
But you know what I mean? Because you don't like it's the only emotion and chemical feeling I have in my body is like comparing it to that and that, right? And here's the thing. It's kind of like, and again, this is going to fuck just stay with me, kids. This is like when you're in that moment and the girl kind of whispers to you, you know, you kind of look and you're like, okay, I'm all in on this, but I don't know where the fuck this is going. You know what I mean? Like, that's Kenny Omega and Okada. They take you on a fucking ride where you don't know where you're going to end, but oh my fucking God, are you just thrilled to be on this ride? Right?
I would say that it is the black tar heroin of professional wrestling matches. That's what I'll say.
I mean, we're doing every. This is like the underbelly of society. We're comparing the pro wrestling, which is nonsense in itself. But do you get my meaning? Like, there's this sense of danger, and like you don't have this sense of danger with, Tanahashi Okada matches, right? You have a sense of, oh, this is fucking great. And but there is a sense, there's this element of just craziness that you have with Okada and Omega that I don't think you get with Okada and Tanahashi. There's this little bit of danger in there that's just so fucking exciting. And so, again, it just, how did you feel after this match was over? Like, you weren't tired. You wanted to go out and, you know, mow your lawn or paint your house or fucking do something, right?
Actually, I wanted to do a podcast.
I know, me too. Sorry. We're actually recording pretty late for us. But it's, you know, for East Coast time, it's 7 o'clock in the morning, right? And you're just pacing, and to steal a Joe Lanza phrase, you know, you're pacing, and you don't know what to do with yourself because you have all this stuff that's going on inside of you. Oh, what a fucking ride! And not for nothing. So now you have this again. I don't give a shit. 6 stars, 12 stars, 50,000 stars. I don't care what you call it. This tremendous hour-long ride that you've been on. And then let's not even forget what happened before this. Some of the Takahashi and Kushida was tremendous. Tanahashi and Naito, tremendous. The junior tag match, the title match, the Bucks and Roppongi, fantastic. Colin, I don't think there was a match on this show that where I was like, all right, this fucking stinks. Even G.O.D. and War Machine, who, again, G.O.D. just – let me take that back. Tongaloa just – woo-wee.
I personally thought that was a great match despite the ending, which we'll get into momentarily.
Okay. I thought it was probably okay, right? And I'll give it a good. Why not? I'm in a great mood. Give it a fucking good. I don't care. But there was – Colin, guess what? You know what? Cody Rhodes and Michael Elgin were on their way to having a really fucking good match.
If that would have went about 4 or 5 minutes longer, I think that could have been a very good match.
Thank you. I absolutely agree.
It was certainly Cody's best since he's been in New Japan. I will say that.
I agree. Now, again, we only have three to work with, and he did have the best dance partner to date, right? With Michael Elgin, who, again, I think is vastly underrated. But, okay, he was well on his way. I think the finish was really abrupt, right? Honestly. I thought that came out of nowhere. And I, like I said, I feel the same way. If they gave them another 5 minutes, I think this was well on its way. And for all the people who dance up and down for Cody Rhodes, you know, this match – you know, if anybody comes to you guys and say, oh, name a great Cody Rhodes match, like I always fucking do, you can point to this.
And
you can,
folks,
point to this match.
I hate to say we told you so, but we told you so. And trust me, it gives me no great pleasure to be correct on this, but looks like we're getting Cody versus Okada at Long Beach.
Fuck me, right? Colin, I know you're smirking over there. I can see it from here.
Boy, am I glad that I saved $2,000.
Listen, you're going to miss a great time. Corrugation Ale House, we got fucking, that place is going to be rocking.
I'll be in Vegas in the fall. But
I understand, but we're going to have a great time there.
Oh, you will. You will, for sure. It's going to be a blast, seriously. I wish I could be there. But Damon, the clock is ticking.
Yeah,
what do you say we go to the very beginning of the show? First of all, this show had a crowd of 11,756, and you know what? It really strikes me that when you're watching this show, when I was watching it, and you take a look around at the beautiful Osaka Joe Hall, you would think that professional wrestling is huge right now. You would think that we're in the middle of a boom period, but you know that we're not. But boy, was that a great crowd or what?
That's very encouraging. I mean, that's a big hall. That's a building, a worthy building, You know, when you sell out a building like that, that's good stuff. That's not 2,200 people. That's a nice little house there.
The Osaka Joe Hall has a capacity of 16,000. So to pack 12,000 New Japan fans in there is no small feat.
It's very encouraging, very great news. Tickets are selling briskly for G1, from what I understand. It's a good thing. And listen, every day I get hit up with, how do I get tickets? You know, I'm going to Japan. How do I get this? How do I get that? And people, we are going to have something special for all those people who have all those questions that I constantly get. We'll have something very special in the next few days for you guys. So we'll take care of that. Well, just a little tease there. But let's get back to the show here.
Okay, let's kick it off with the pre-show match. This was a tag featuring the team of David Finley, Tomoyuki Oka, Shota Umino, taking on Kawato, Kitamura, and Yagi. Damon, I'll say this. I legitimately look forward to each and every Young Lion match. I mean, I know we've been saying it for weeks and weeks now, but this is, in my opinion, the most exciting crop of Young Lions to watch grow. Now, I will say this for Mr. David Finley. Boy, he feels to me like, you know, when you're a teenager in high school and you're going through all these different, phases and fads, and you're trying out different things and you're trying to figure out who you are. It seems like Finley is going through that. Like, I don't know what he's trying to be.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what it is. You know, we've talked about it before with Finley. It's not like there's no secret that he needs a reboot and he needs a new coat of paint. No doubt about it. Obviously he shined here. You know, he's
picked up the win on Yagi.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think anybody thought anything different. They did the right thing there, of course, giving him the win. But yeah, he just needs a new fresh coat of paint. You know, to me, the Young Lions were more exciting. Like, I'm more excited for their future than David Finley's right now. I hate to say it. But here's the thing, though. That's all he needs. He just needs a new coat of paint, because he's really good. We all know that.
He's great. He could be one of the best, but I think that a good excursion somewhere would do him a world of good.
The problem is that you have a roster that is your shoulder deep in legitimate some of the greatest wrestlers on the planet. So it's very difficult to stand out. And again, a lot of times it is the excursion that's needed. Again, the trip to Mexico, Colin. Again, I'm highly recommended. Fuck Vegas. Go to fucking Mexico with David Finley. Do you want me to come with you? Is that what you're looking for?
Going to Mexico isn't high on my list currently. And
all right.
Like you said.
You know what happens in Mexico?
What happens in Mexico?
Listen, ask Shinsuke Nakamura. Ask.
Ding.
Hey, listen, we got right to talk about him this week. We absolutely have right to talk about him. And again, we'll talk a little bit more about Tanahashi Naito, but we'll get there. All right. He needs a new coat of paint. What'd you think of the Young Lions? Looking good?
Yeah, like I said, I always look forward to watching them grow each and every show.
Yeah, me too. Match was okay, right? Match was Young Lions match, right? Yeah,
match was fine. Nothing wrong with it.
Yeah, a lot of energy. Everybody trying to get their shit in. Fine by me. All right, good stuff. Next up.
First official match on this Dominion card. We have the team of Togi Makabe, Yuji Nagata, Tiger Mask W, and Tiger Mask taking on Hiroyoshi Tenzan, Satoshi Kojima, Manabu Nakanishi, and Jushin Thunder Liger. So after I got done watching this match...
This is where we got our apology, by the way.
Yes, this is the match where Kevin Kelly did apologize for the light ribbing of Damon, and we got the shout out. Thanks to him, as always. But Makabe picked up the win here, hitting the King Kong knee drop on Nakanishi, and it occurred to me, they're heating up Makabe for the G1. That's what this was.
Yeah, Yeah, I think. But wasn't this the same exact finish we saw just a couple weeks ago? Or it was Makabe with the King Kong knee drop on Nakanishi?
It probably was. They all run together. But
I feel like they do.
I do think, though, that it is significant, like I said, that Makabe is the one picking up the wins here. Because similar to how Fall A sort of has his yearly big run, I think that the G1 is certainly the time of the year where Makabe gets to remind everyone that he actually is quite a good wrestler. So that's what I think this is. Heating up old Togi to get him ready for the tournament.
Yeah, it's kind of like the Will Ospreay, right?
Yes.
How Will Ospreay would be picking up his wins and leading up to the Best of the Super Junior.
Who wasn't on
the
show,
right,
by the way?
What's that?
No Ospreay on the show, by the way.
I hope he's home with a cold fucking beer in his hand, sitting on a couch somewhere, because he just needs to rest. You know, after that Super Junior, you know, that run he had, he needs a rest. That's all. That's all I want for that kid, for at least a week or two, heal up. But Makabe picking up the win. Yeah, if you look at everybody else in that multi-man tag, that's the guy who needed to be heated up. So yeah, good call by you. I agree with that 100%.
Alrighty, first title match of the evening. The Nevers Trio titles were on the line. The champs, LIJ, defending the titles in a gauntlet match against Taguchi, Juice Robinson, and Ricochet. Mm-hmm. Ishii, Yano, and Yoshihashi.
Mm-hmm.
Bad Luck Fale, Hangman Page, and Yujiro Takahashi. And Zack Sabre Jr., Kanemaru, and Tai Chi. I'll be honest with you. The first two matches were really nothing to see. Actually, the first three matches, I want to say, were really nothing. It didn't really heat up until it got down to LIJ and who was it? Juice.
Team Japan.
Yeah, Taguchi Japan, Juice, Taguchi, and Ricochet. That was the best match out of this gauntlet.
Yeah.
And you know what's funny? You know how we had that little impromptu contest that we announced weeks and weeks ago?
I do, yeah.
If you can successfully predict who the new Never Trios champs will be, we'll send you a little something. And one listener, I don't have his name in front of me, but he came very close because I think that he did predict Taguchi, Juice, and Ricochet to be the next champions. But alas, LIJ emerged victorious. Sanada locked in the skull end on Taguchi. Then Bushi hits the codebreaker off the top rope. So, Damon, LIJ maybe adding a bit of prestigiousness to these Never Trios titles. What do you think?
Yeah, the one successful defense.
That's
very
right.
Good. Yeah, how about that guy? I remember you texting me saying, you know, somebody picked this, you know, or somebody's going to win this goddamn contest when they announced the card.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty funny. He was so close. Yeah, I forget the guy's name, but props to you, sir, for coming oh so close. Oh, by the way, the prize was $1 million. Sorry you lost. Sorry. No, I'm just kidding.
It was actually it was not the Taguchi Japan. I have the gentleman in front of me right now on Twitter, Eric Jones. Had picked Ishii, Yano, and Yoshihashi, but nevertheless, he did successfully predict the team in this match. So, tough break, Eric. Maybe next time.
Maybe next time we'll win $1 million.
That's right. Right here on Who Wants to Be?
Right. Hey, never open weight guesser. Yeah, you're right. It was nonsense in the fucking beginning, right? It was like a battle royal.
Pretty much.
How they're just tossing people over the top rope. And then got down to – and I didn't hate it. I didn't hate the Taguchi Japan LIJ stuff. I thought that was fine.
No.
I kind of like Taguchi Japan.
Yeah, I get a kick out of them. I mean, it's actually a nice pairing with Taguchi, Ricochet, Juice. I kind of dig it.
Yeah, listen, it's the Never six-man belts, but I wouldn't have a problem with that. I wouldn't have a problem if they, you know, challenged for the tag championship. I wouldn't have a problem with that. Taguchi's good, solid, and he's, you know, like, I dig the comedy stuff with him. I don't have a problem with it. You know, the him call, you know, doing the signals. He's, you know, he's squatting behind, throwing the fastball, and the that was good. I don't know. It was. Here's what it was. It was a change of pace for what we saw. For like a lot of the shit that we saw on this show was dead, drop dead serious. This was just a nice little palate cleanser, if you will.
Damon, what do you think is next for Mr. Tomohiro Ishii? We've been talking about how he is just sort of lost in this tag shuffle, and it's not the tag team that we want.
Well, like I said, there's another guy that seems to be lost in the shuffle. Well, another guy who struggles as a singles competitor. Chief J. Another Chaos member that could use a little loving. And I think that might be a good idea to reunite and reconnect. So hopefully we see that. I think that'd be a good spot for both those guys.
Speaking of tag teams, we saw our first regular tag team title match of the night for the IWGP Junior Tag Team Titles. The champs, Roppongi Vice, defending against the Young Bucks. I thought that this was a great match, and that it was very smart how they used the story that they told at Wrestle Kingdom 11, mm-hmm. but they just swapped Beretta for Romero. So instead of Beretta being laid out on the outside, it was Romero with Beretta on the inside, scratching and clawing and trying to retain the titles for his team. I thought that was smart.
And who I thought did an outstanding job in this match, Trent Beretta. I thought Trent Beretta was tremendous in this match. I mean, he took a lot of fucking heat from the Young Bucks. Well, not to take heat, but he got worked over. And looking for that hot tag, maybe is what I want to say, to Rocky Romero, who, again, was laid out numerous times. I liked the match a lot. I thought the match was really a solid, strong match. And I can't tell you how many times we've sat here, Colin, we've talked about, man, all these these multi-man tags with the junior belt, right? Remember those days where it was, you know, you never got just a tag team versus tag team. You always had to throw in a third team or four teams. And it was just like, come on, give these guys some fucking time. Let them do something really special on the show. I loved this match. I thought this was great. Great match.
Yeah, Damon, I am in full agreement. This was a great match, much like their match at Wrestle Kingdom 11.
I thought it was better.
Yeah, you know what? I am going to have to agree with you there. I like the ending. We saw the Bucks hit the Indie Taker on Romero, and then Nick locked in the Sharpshooter. How about that? And the Bucks are now six-time IWGP Junior Heavyweight Champs, as I believe I predicted, because, quite frankly, it just makes sense for them to be champions going in to Long Beach in their home state of California.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think anybody's, you know, was shocked by that. But the match, they gave them time. They worked out a well-planned out match, plenty of dangerous spots. Nice, you know, they already have decent chemistry together as it is. For them to give them some time was really a refreshing change from what we have seen in the past. Give me some snowflakes, man. This is the first match that we can honestly say, okay, we're able to throw snowflakes. So throw them around, big boy.
If we're judging based on the scale of a junior tag match, I'm going to say that this was 4.5 stars.
Okay. Am I going half? Nah, I'm probably going like 4.25. But
4.25.
A quarter, like the quarters. I don't know. You know, I thought this was a really great match. It was over 4. It was over 4.
So
I
think that's safe. You're giving it the Colin Miller rating.
3.25 by then. What?
There you go.
I thought they really did a great job. What is it, six times for the Bucks?
Yeah, they are now six-time IWGP Junior Heavyweight Tag Champs. And while we're talking about the Bucks and Roppongi Vice, I just wanted to mention, don't sleep on.
Uh-oh. All right, don't sleep
their,
on.
Their match from Korakuen, a few days ago, it was the Elite versus Okada and Roppongi Vice. I thought that was a very good main event.
I'm going to be truthful. I haven't caught up with the Road 2 show.
That was actually an enjoyable show all around. We saw a great 10-man tag in the semi, and like I said, the Elite versus Okada and Roppongi Vice, definitely worth checking out, you know, in your spare time. So I just thought I'd mention that. And we move up the card here for the IWGP Heavyweight Tag Titles. We have the champs War Machine defending against, of course, our favorite tag team, Damon, the Gorillas of Destiny, Tama Tonga and Tonga Loa. First of all, let's talk about the positives, shall
we? All right. I have positives in this match, too, by the way. I do.
Yeah, I know. I knew that you would. War Machine is just... thank God for War Machine being in this heavyweight tag division, because without them, boy, would it just be the drizzling shits. These two guys, I think, you know, a year ago when they were just in Ring of Honor, I remember when we saw them, actually, at the ROH 14th anniversary show in Vegas. They were just kind of, you know, two big guys that were there. But boy, they have really found their niche in Japan, I think. These two guys are tailor-made to work in Japan. They did some awesome tandem maneuvers, if you will, against G.O.D. in this match. And they just bring a new shine, a new level of excitement to this heavyweight tag division.
I love them. I want to snuggle with the big bears. I am a huge fan. I think what they bring exactly is a breath of fresh air in what in the past two, maybe 3 years, to me, has been ultra stale and very boring and bland and generic and needing a shot of adrenaline. And I think War Machine are it. So, yeah, my hat's off to them. They are a shining light in what can easily be described as some downtime for the tag team championship. Now, with that said, I thought the match was good. I thought this was a good match. I didn't think it was as great as you seem to think it was. But my biggest – there were a couple things that took me out of the match.
There was one main thing that took me out of the match, but go ahead.
Okay, well, give me yours first.
It was simply the ending. I don't know if you noticed, but – boy, that guerrilla warfare that we hit. I think that they hit it on Ro, and his head didn't even hit the mat.
Yeah,
I mean, I hate to be nitpicky like that, but boy, it just looked like a botched finish to me, and it kind of hurt the mat. You know what? It might have taken a snowflake off for me, that botched finish.
Colin, refresh my memory. Was there a rough bump in this match?
I believe that there may have been a ref bump.
Was this the Tiger Hattori just like it was like a stiff breeze blew him over? I was like, not for nothing. Tiger Hattori is a legend in this business, right? Tiger Hattori has refereed more important matches than just about anyone, right? Especially when it comes to New Japan. Very important, influential, again, backstage figure. Connection with the United States. Please don't think I'm shitting on Tiger Hattori, because in no way, shape, or form am I doing that. But it does seem to me that, like, there are plenty of times with Tiger Hattori that, listen, when we talk about refs and the important role a referee has in a match, there's a lot of times where we're left scratching our face like, oh, Tiger Hattori's a little out of place there. And, oh, he's out of position. Oh, he missed that ref bump. Oh, he missed that three count. I'm just going to say that took me out. I think Tonga Loa, he gets lost. There was the one spot where he's picking up, I'm going to say Hansen, I could be wrong, but he's picking him up, and then, you know, Tama Tonga is like, no, give me him. It was just like, he just seems lost. He seems like there are certain times in the match where he's got his shit together, and then there's like, just at a moment's notice, if things don't go absolutely perfect, he just fucking becomes unraveled, and he's just lost in the ring, and he's just spinning around like a top in the middle of the ring. Like, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing.
So you're saying that Tonga Loa is not going to be in the G1 this year, then?
I'm not saying that at all.
Okay.
I'm not saying that at all. I don't want him in the G1. And yes, I do understand people have to lose. Here's my thing with Tongaloa. Like, he frightens me in the sense of he's going to be in the wrong place at the wrong time and somebody's going to get fucking hurt. I'm at that point with Tongaloa. Tongaloa aside, I thought the War Machine worked their ass off as they always do. I thought Tama Tonga looked strong. I think overall the match was good. Wasn't great, good. And I think that a little disappointed that they lost the belts, but I think we knew that that was going to occur in GOD.
Yeah, I think we saw the writing on the wall. One spot in particular that I thought was especially cool that I just want to mention. I think that War Machine had launched Tama Tonga into the air, and as he was coming down, he hit a gun stun out of nowhere, Damon. Yeah. On Hansen. I thought that was a very, very cool spot that they worked out there. So we had some good and we had some bad in this match. But overall,
Give me stars.
Well, since my expectations were so low and therefore as a result, I guess I was pleasantly surprised with this match, I'm going to go 3.75 stars.
I'm going to go into 3 somewhere. That's the range I would put it in. I would put it in the 3s. Again, it's not nothing. It was a good match. It was a good match.
And again, I'm rating that on the scale of modern heavyweight tag matches in New Japan as we know them. So there is some wiggle room there.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I would not put this match against like an All Japan tag, like or some of the big Japan tags that I've seen this year. I think they blow this match away. But again, I'm not here to shit on this match by any stretch of the imagination. This was a good match. I'm here to say, and again, everybody likes to fucking pile on Damon with his grumpiness. When I have a grump, did you see that line? Have a grump.
I did not see that.
Yeah. Somebody said, Damon's going to have a grump over something or something.
Was that on Reddit?
Yeah. I fell in love with that saying, having a grump. I loved it. So I'm not going to have a grump over, GOD. Not here today. It is what it is. Tag champs. We got more to see from them. Yay, us. But not a bad match.
Well, I'll tell you what, Damon. If you don't want to have a grump when trying to get authentic Japanese merchandise shipped straight to your door from Japan, there's clearly only one website where you're not going to have a grump. And do you know what that is?
I'm going to go out on a limb and say it's gaijincollectibles.com, Colin.
Aha, the light bulb goes off.
Yes, I'll tell you what great people they are over there at Gaijin. Again, guys, gals, if you want the Puro merch, you know where to go, gaijincollectibles.com. If you want it delivered straight to your door, straight from the promotions themselves, gaijincollectibles.com. Guess who's giving us 25 gift bags? And they're on my way to my house. I don't know how to fucking get them to the hotel. I gotta mail them to the hotel, I guess. Because 25 people are going to get a magazine, weekly pro wrestling. They're going to get the little trading. It's a nice little package, free giveaway. Good friends at Gaijin Collectibles. They have the new Kenny Omega shirts, right? They got the Taguchi Japan scarves. They got, and even if they don't have it on their website, contact them. Tell them what you want. You want something from Totokan? They'll get it for you. You want something from the New Japan shop? They'll get it for you. Easy peasy. Great customer service, shipping fast. Hey, listen, everybody I recommend them to, guess what happens? They come back and they're like, Damon, you were right. They are top notch.
It's those green Kit Kats. That's what I think it is.
And the green Kit Kats. Oh, they're lovely. We need more sent over. I hope you brought some over with the gift bags. Hey, look, our good friends over there at Gaijin Collectibles. When people ask, hey, how can we support the show? I'll tell you how you can support the show. Support them for your Puro merch needs because, one, you're not going to be disappointed, and, two, it helps the show.
There you have it, folks. GaijinCollectibles.com. Follow them on Twitter. Like them on Facebook. They are your one-stop shop for all things Puroresso merchandise shipped straight from Japan right to your door. GaijinCollectibles.com. Very good.
There you go.
Alrighty, and we continue our journey up this Dominion card, and we arrive at Cody versus Michael Elgin. You know, Damon, I said it at the beginning of the broadcast. We told you that this was the direction that they were going in. Like we said, this was probably Cody's best match thus far in New Japan, but I can't help feeling bad for Michael Elgin at the end of the day. I mean, his last big win, what was it, at the Tokyo Dome in the New Japan Rumble? He is just sort of floundering in obscurity a little bit.
Well, he didn't do the last tour. I don't think he did the last two tours, to be truthful.
No, it's been a while since we've seen Big Mike.
Yeah, and that finish, speaking of coming out of nowhere, felt like that finish came out of nowhere, right?
You know how sometimes, like, little adjustments could probably increase your enjoyment of a match, just like little things?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Okay, so right before the finish, Cody had Elgin kind of like in a hangman position. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And if he would have hit the crossroads from that position, call me crazy, but I think that would have been a better finish than him, you know, removing him from the hangman position and hitting the crossroads. It just, I don't know, just that would have gave it a little extra oomph, if you will. But, you know, that's just one guy's opinion.
You know what it felt like to me? It felt like somebody whispered from the back, "Hey, they got to take it home real quick. Like we need more time, right? We're cutting it close." That's really what it felt like to me. They were on their way to having a really strong match. They had a strong match. I thought the match was really good. I thought, and I think you nailed it at the top of the show, and I feel exactly the same way. Is you give that match another 5 minutes, and you got yourself a borderline great match.
Here's the thing, though, about Cody. You know,
you go first. I'm sorry.
We can all agree that he's a good wrestler, right? You can say Cody Rhodes is a good wrestler, but even after this match, I still don't feel like he belongs in a New Japan ring. He still looks out of place to me, and a lot of his mannerisms are a bit stardusty, if you know what I'm saying. There's a lot of goofiness in Cody's mannerisms, in my opinion. But
Let me play devil's advocate. Can I play devil's advocate with you on this?
I love when we play devil's advocate.
All right. If you never saw Cody Rhodes anywhere else but here in New Japan or Ring of Honor or what have you, I guess what I'm trying to ask is this. Is it because you've watched him in another promotion and you see him here, does that factor in your, I don't want to say negative view, but your honest opinion of what you think of Cody Rhodes?
I suppose that there certainly is a built-in bias there, you know, considering the system that Cody grew up in. But guess what? AJ Styles came from a little company called TNA. I don't know if you ever heard of them. And when he left TNA, I mean, that company was in not such a great place. But AJ Styles delivered. He quickly became one of the top workers in New Japan.
But he was always a top worker.
Well,
like,
yes.
Even when he was in TNA, like even for everything TNA-wise, like, he was still, you know, before, and again, I don't want to turn this into a TNA conversation, but before TNA just hit the skids and just became what they became, they had a nice little run of being a solid wrestling promotion.
They did. But,
and AJ was in the mix in that.
He was. He certainly was. I mean, there are many classic matches with him and Samoa Joe and Christopher Daniels, etc., and so forth. Yeah, I suppose. Okay, so on one hand, there is that built-in bias, you know, that right. I know where Cody Rhodes came from, and I've been watching him and I've seen him, but I don't want that to be an excuse for him. Do you know what I mean?
And I think it works both ways. Now, listen, if I'm being honest, I can admit to myself and to the listeners and to everyone that I guarantee you that I have a built-in bias, right? But I think it works the other way, too. I really think that there are people that just go out of their way to defend what Cody Rhodes does. Like, I'm reading people saying, like, well, you know, he's, has this style, and, eventually he's going to turn the corner and really get accustomed to the New Japan. You know, not for nothing, it's been quite a while that he hasn't worked for the WWE, right? It's not like, he's fresh out of the, he just left NXT.
I think that the last time was the WrestleMania before this year.
Okay. So, I think it works both ways when it comes to the bias. There's people that will defend him to their death. And there are people that, that have a built-in bias of, he's working. It's a very, the over-the-top mannerisms and the expressions and all that stuff.
There's a lot of goofiness.
It feels like there is. There's a very, it's that style. That being said, Colin, this was the, and again, I can't believe I'm being a Cody Rhodes. I'm just playing a devil's advocate. I'm trying to keep an open mind here.
You're a Cody Rhodes apologist, David.
I have Dream on my chest. This is his best opponent that he's had, right?
Yes, I would have to agree.
Okay. And we're all assuming, and I think what we're looking at is in Long Beach, Cody Rhodes versus Okada, right? I think that's a safe guesstimate, right?
I think that's all but confirmed.
Okay. It's Okada. There's nothing that guy doesn't touch that doesn't turn to gold at this point.
He's the rainmaker. He could have a
4.5-star match against me, right? That's safe.
Well.
All right,
I guess he could. I don't know.
I'm killing me. It's him that I'm putting over. If anybody can do it, it's going to be him. And Cody Rhodes, I want to say, to me in this match, felt a little bit more New Japan-y, if that's a word, right? A little bit more this style.
I get where you're coming from. Yeah.
Could there be a Listen, I'd be thrilled with a 4. I'd be thrilled with a 4. If I got Okada Cody Rhodes 4 stars, I would be thrilled with it.
Neither of us, we both agree that Cody Rhodes is a good wrestler. We never said that he was a bad wrestler. Now, Cody Rhodes, who's a good wrestler against Kazuchika Okada, who is arguably the best pro wrestler on the planet right now, I think we're looking at a very good match.
Yeah. The problem is that I just don't have any interest in Cody Rhodes.
You're not emotionally invested.
Correct. Right. There's nothing that Cody Rhodes does that gets me fucking riled up. Right? Nothing. That's really, in essence, the problem. We're not saying he's a bad wrestler. It's just that there's nothing that he does in the ring that gets me particularly excited. That's the honest to God truth. I'd be thrilled with if I walked out of Long Beach and I had a drink in my hand and somebody came up to me and said, "Hey, what did you think of this match?" And I said, "Hey, you know what? It was great. What a successful trip this is going to be." That's all I'm saying.
So Cody Rhodes hits the crossroads, picks up the win on Michael Elgin. The match went about 11 minutes long. Like we said, I think that if it would have went about 4 or 5 more minutes, it could have been very, very good. After the match, Cody grabs, I think it was Kevin Kelly's headset, and he said that he's coming after Okada. So, yeah, there you have it.
Yep. Cody that Rhodes. In the post-match, right? The post-match presser with Okada.
Yes, indeed. That's what we're looking at for Long Beach. So, hey, I will reserve judgment until the match is over.
And Colin is waiting for everyone to apologize to him and to everyone who doubted Colin Miller. You can tweet him. I'm sure he's anxiously awaiting.
Look, don't forget, I was the one who called the Okada Tanahashi draw at last year's G1. I've called a lot of things in the history of this podcast that
I
have
listened.
Come to fruition. Yeah. So,
yeah,
I don't want to say I'm a Sven Jolly, but
good work out of you, Colin. We're all proud of you.
Thank you.
All right. What do we got next after Cody and Elk?
We are reaching the home stretch. We got 4 more big title matches for the IWGP Junior Heavyweight title. Match number 3 between Hiromu Takahashi and the Best of the Super Junior 24 winner, Kushida.
What a great match. Did you enjoy this match or what?
I thought that this match, you know, these guys went into it. They knew that they had to do something different from their previous two matches. And that's the thing. Their trilogy, each match is distinctly different. And I love how they just started off slugging each other right in the middle of the ring. Yeah. That was beautiful. And I also, Damon, did I mention how much I love this Osaka crowd?
Yeah, they are great, aren't they?
Don Callis kind of echoed the sentiments that I was thinking while I was watching it. I think that Osaka is like the Chicago of Japan. These fans are so into it. And notice how whenever somebody, it didn't matter who it was, whenever somebody did something heelish, the crowd really turned on them and started booing.
Yeah, they gave it to Kushida. When he was setting up that chair for that dropkick spot, that was holy fucking Christ. He knocked Takahashi six rows deep. That was an amazing. Yeah, they opened up this match, and for at least 2 or 3 minutes, Colin, they're just teeing off on each other. Kushida throws that awesome punch, right? And they both exchange them, and they both go down. I would put this in right now as feud of the year.
Yeah, you know, I was thinking to myself the other day, oftentimes during the course of the year, I start thinking about our year-end awards just because I like to be mindful of it during the year. And I was
By the way, we're going to get blasted this year with votes. I'm serious.
Well, you're not going to like what I'm about to say next.
What?
I was thinking of introducing two new categories. One of them being feud of the year. And yeah, I think you're right. Takahashi and Kushida. Thus far, that has been the feud of the year.
I think so. I mean, I really this started out as an absolute fucking fight, and it even throughout the match, you felt, you know, what exactly a feud needs, and that's the hatred, right? You felt the anger that they had at each other. It was more than respect. It was, I don't like this motherfucker. There was plenty of that during this match, and it would build, and then you would see fantastic wrestling. And then, you know, there was one time where they're both literally dead in the ring, and
literally,
maybe not literally, but you know what I mean. I do throw literally.
That would have been bad, David.
Right, that would have been terrible. They had to stop the match. Kushida kind of gets to his knees and props up Takahashi, and boom, we're going at it again. And I love when they just get nose to nose, and they, you know, it's just a super enjoyable feud. Kushida has had a tremendous, tremendous reboot from where, you know, I guess you have to reach bottoms, right? You have to reach a bottom. And he did, because we sat here on this show talking about Kushida and how, okay, how much lower can you go? You know, you're losing every fall and every tag match. You're losing in under 3 minutes, you know, trying to regain your title. You lose at the Tokyo Dome for it. This is a nice redemption story, starting with the ROH TV belt of all things. This has been a nice redemption story for Kushida. I'm totally into him again. He feels revigorated. He feels recharged.
And he feels dangerous, too. He feels like a serious threat in the ring.
Yes, I agree. And I think that's what people were almost looking for. Look, he has this boyish charm and the technical savvy. But he did kind of open up a little bit of a Pandora's box in the sense of you found a little edge to him. You know, it felt like he was trying to kind of match up with Takahashi's dangerousness. And that was exciting. Only challenge I have right now, Colin, is now what do you do with Takahashi? Right? Because that was an enjoyable run with that belt. That was an enjoyable run.
That was. And truth be told, if it was me booking, I would have had Takahashi hold on to that belt for a whole year, and he would have dropped it at Wrestle Kingdom 12. But that is not the direction that they decided to go in. Do you think that
he did challenge? He did kind of say one more match, you know, and it was almost kind of assumed that we might still see that. But then, you know, the post match disappointment, green mist and all.
That is correct. After the match, so Kushida finally taps out Takahashi with the hoverboard lock after a hard fought battle of close to 20 minutes. And yes, you said it, Damon. Bushi comes out, sprays the mist, and I guess that's Kushida's next opponent. And boy, I couldn't give less of a fuck.
It was a bit of a letdown, wasn't it? It did go boo. Yeah, it was that. I was like, fuck, you gotta be kidding me. Yeah, a little disappointed. I mean, listen, we're not the biggest Bushi fans here, but
he's good. But look, Kushida and Bushi, in my opinion, they just haven't had the best of chemistry historically. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that their best match was probably from Best of the Super Juniors last month. But yeah, I'm not. Bushi just isn't a wrestler that draws much excitement from us.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I get, I know people get pumped up over the Bushi. Over the Bush. But, yeah, I got to be honest. I was a little disappointed? Probably disappointed.
Probably.
Because you have lots of other juniors that I would have loved to have seen take that place, take that spot.
You know, I find that interesting that Kushida started using the Bryan Danielson stomps to the head.
I
have a good idea for a title defense at Wrestle Kingdom 12 for Kushida. I'm not going to tell you what it is.
Let me hear, please.
Well, you know, maybe come King of Pro Wrestling or Power Struggle, Kushida could be in the ring there with his IWGP Junior Heavyweight title. He could be calling out a challenger, and all of a sudden you hear Ride of the Valkyrie start up. The entire audience in Osaka is yes, yes, yes.
Oh, Colin Miller, you're doing so good.
I'm not going to let this go, Damon.
He's happy on his farm.
Leave him. I'm not happy.
He's got a young, yeah, he's got a little newborn.
That's great.
He's happy as hell.
But you still got to believe that he wants to get in that ring one more time. And I think that New Japan Pro Wrestling is the perfect place to do it. And I'll stop there.
All right. Very good. All right. We all have dreams, Colin.
Hey, just remember my track record with predictions here on this podcast. Keep that in mind.
I think you're underrated when it comes to that stuff. You are underrated, but I'm not holding my breath for this one.
Alrighty.
Give me the flakes.
So you want some snowflakes for this match? I am going 4.5 snowflakes.
I'm going 12.
It's
probably where I'm going.
Let me ask you this question.
Maybe it's even a little bit more. I don't get, you know. Here's why we do the flakes. Again, we're not fucking experts. It's really our, just to give you guys a gauge of what we thought of the match. That's really what it is. It's, don't please, you know, flake schmake. But man, I really like this match. I'm a lock on. I might even go higher than that.
I want to ask you a tough question though.
Uh-oh.
Which match was better? This Kushida versus Takahashi match or last week's Kushida versus Ospreay match?
Mm.
You have to pick one. There's a gun to your head. No, I mean it. Look behind you. There's a...
No, what? No. I really like this match a lot, but...
Wow.
But I think Ospreay and Kushida was better.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the route I'm going.
Only by an ass hair, though. Only by an ass hair. You know what, though? I like the violence of this match better. I like the violence of this match.
There were two different matches, so maybe it's an unfair question. But, you know, I like to have some fun.
Match is a match. I really like this match a lot, though. So it's close, but I got to go Ospreay and Kushida. But ass hairs we're talking. Ass hairs.
Alrighty, next match for the Never Openweight title, we have the champ Minoru Suzuki defending against our buddy Chief J Hirooki Goto. Damon, once again, you know, when Suzuki and Goto first had their match for the Never Openweight title, I think that we both agreed that they couldn't quite kick it into that second gear that they needed to. And truth be told, I kind of felt the same way with this match. Of course, this was a lumberjack death match, which yes. I thought there was that the ring was going to explode like in Fire Pro Wrestling.
But, I was hoping for it.
That'd yeah, unfortunately, we didn't see that. But what we did see was a lot of Suzuki goon antics on the outside, a lot of chaos antics. Final stretch of the match, Suzuki has the sleeper in. Goto is countering. He hits his GTR finish in the front, hits it in the back, has Suzuki pinned, but Tai Chi yanks the ref out of the ring because, of course, this is a lumberjack match. And Suzuki ultimately hits a dropkick, hits the sleeper, and finishes off Goto with the Gotch pile driver.
Yeah, you've got the chair
retain.
Shot. The chair shot to the head.
Oh, how led to that. Yeah. How could I forget that? Damon, let me ask you, was that necessary?
Look again.
Goto got blasted right in the head. It wasn't a hands up covering. It was a full frontal chair
Raven
shot.
Raven Tommy Dreamer shot.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm hoping that they're safe doing it. Am I going to tell anybody not to do something?
Well, it is a human skull, and there is a folding chair. And
it is,
when they come in contact.
Okay. But truth be told, we've done this in the history of pro wrestling since forever, right?
And look at the mortality rate.
Okay, right. Okay. Again, we're going into a conversation that we want to get into. But I don't have – listen, if he took 6 headshots with a chair, okay, I'd have a problem. He took a chair shot.
All it takes is that one chair shot.
All right, but he, you know,
that one headbutt.
Well, again, we're not talking about headbutts. We're talking about – I don't know. I didn't
– We're talking about blows to the cranium is what we're talking about.
I understand, Brian Alvarez, but that didn't really – make me cringe as much as I know this is going to be the chitter chat online. I know people are going to talk about that spot, and to me it looked hard. It didn't look entirely stiff, and it didn't look entirely like it didn't look as I don't know it,
well,
to me it didn't look like it was a move where I'm squinting and saying, that's going to be regrettable.
Maybe
I don't know
Goto has that Homer Simpson syndrome where he has like a line of protective fluid covering his brain so he can take like severe punishment.
You're right. Something had to be done in that spot where that was strong enough that he had to get rocked, and you know, that's one way to do it.
Now,
yeah.
There were 2 stories that sort of overshadowed the match, in my opinion. Number one, Damon, I was introduced to a dream match that I never knew I wanted until now, and that is Jushin Thunder Liger versus Minoru Suzuki. Because Liger was on commentary on the outside, and they did really kind of get into it at one point and almost come to blows. So, man, wouldn't that be a nice little, a main event for a Korakuen show, Suzuki defending the NEVER title against Liger, like Battle Liger, you know, with the shirt off.
Hey, I'm totally down for that. Here's the thing though. They have their history, you know. Suzuki Liger was a substitute in a, and I'll put it in air quotes, a legit MMA fight against Suzuki. I forget who Suzuki was supposed to wrestle.
I remember.
Or supposed to write.
I've seen that fight. Liger tries to do like a rolling capo kick.
Right.
And it doesn't work.
Right. And then he gets his fucking ass handed to him.
Yeah.
Right.
He's pretty sad.
Yeah, I mean, but listen, he was a last-minute replacement. I forget who he was supposed to wrestle that night.
He should have tried a Liger bomb.
What was that? That was like 2000. And Liger had the was that the one where he had the shorts on? Like, so he wasn't wearing his full getup.
Yeah.
But he was wearing like kind of like you know, like MMA shorts.
Yes.
But they were Liger designed. Like, listen, he had enough time to get them made. So
should have spent more time training.
Well, I think he was just like a quick substitution. I'm gonna say. I forget where that was in the background. I'm sure somebody will give us the scoop on that. But
maybe Mauro Ranallo will tweet us.
Yeah, sure, Mauro. How about you give us a little help with that? But yeah, I do remember Liger throwing that spin kick, rolling kick thing, and completely whiffing, and then unfortunately getting his ass handed to him. But there you go. It's already there. So we have seen this before. It's online. Would we want to see it again? Yeah, why not? What the fuck? Let's do it. I don't think we will, though. I think what are we looking at? We're looking at Yoshihashi, aren't we?
Yeah, after the match, Yoshihashi laying out the challenge to Suzuki. What are your feelings on that? I don't have a problem with it, but I can't say I'm particularly excited about it either. But I do think that it's a good place for Yoshihashi, who is sort of in that, you know, upper mid-card category.
Here's the thing. We always have to remind ourselves of A, the position that Yoshihashi is trying to be in, right? Remember the beginning of the year when he was on fire, right?
Yeah.
So we always have to be reminded of that. It does feel like he has cooled off significantly. I don't think there's any problem with giving him a match in, you know, some, you know, if you needed like a, I don't want to say like a B show, but if you needed a show where the Never title is headlining, you could put that on top. Yeah. Why not? What the fuck? You know, give him a shot. I think it could be a good match. It's not something that I ever knew that I wanted to see. But, you know, if you pop it on there, I'm in. Sure, why not?
I think that we're looking at that as a Kizuna Road main event.
I mean,
it easily could be, I think.
Yeah.
They did Shibata versus Honma on the last Kizuna Road, if my memory serves me correctly, so... I think they could certainly do Suzuki versus Yoshihashi.
Give it a shot. I mean, it could surprise us. It could surprise us. Here's what it is, though. Look at where we are in chaos and the pecking order. You know, it's like...
Who's number two?
Would you have ever have dreamed that in chaos you got... I mean, how it feels right now. Yoshihashi is above Ishii. Above... Goto.
Yeah, Yoshihashi has surpassed.
I mean, if you're looking at the pecking order. Yeah, if you're looking at the pecking order.
What do you think
right
it
now?
Goes like Okada, Osprey, Yoshihashi, or Okada, Yoshihashi, Osprey, maybe?
Maybe, dude.
Wow.
Maybe.
Wow.
I mean, if you look at it, you know, people are going to look at it historically and be like, what the fuck are you guys talking about? But, you know, Goto's hurting in a bad way. Goto's hurting in a bad way. Goto is not, and I like Goto. He's just talk about a new coat of paint.
Yeah,
in the pecking order right now, Yoshihashi is above these two guys.
That's crazy.
I mean, fucking Ishii's a lumberjack for crying out loud.
And you know, it's crazy to think that Ishii was in my favorite match of last year versus Okada from the G1. That was my favorite match. That was unbelievable. Yeah. And yeah. God, look where he's at
he's
now.
He's a lumberjack.
Could you imagine? You know, I'd like to see him in like the... I wish they would have worn the actual lumberjack attire like they used to on Monday Night Raw. Like,
oh,
that would have been something to see.
Oh, I would have fast-forwarded immediately.
Oh, I would have loved that.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I understand the fact that it's Suzuki-gun and chaos and, you know, each guy, you know, has their buddies. But, you know, again, if you're looking... I mean, Yoshihashi's a lumberjack show, too. I get it. But, you know, at the end of the day, Yoshihashi, to me, looks 1,000 times stronger than Goto and a thousand times stronger than Ishii. That's saying something. It's, you know, we're coming up on July. I don't think anybody would have said that in January.
Well, we'll see what happens with Yoshihashi and Suzuki. But moving up to the semi-main event, we have, for the IWGP Intercontinental Championship, the champion Naito defending against the challenger Hiroshi Tanahashi. Damon, before this match took place, Tetsuya Naito was echoing our sentiments, actually, by saying that there's too many damn titles in New Japan. And he said that if he won, he would retire the IWGP IC title. And for that reason, I was really behind Naito in this match. Because
really?
Oh, yeah. There, he's, look, I know that this is storyline, but he's right. There are way too many titles in New Japan right now. And now we're adding this U.S. title and...
Okay, listen, that's a valid point. That doesn't necessarily mean we're going to knock down the number two belt and the number two title. I mean, I would start from the bottom and work my way up. What did you think of this match, man?
I thought this match was great.
This was so good.
If you're talking about, like, old school pro wrestling storytelling, like, I'm going to work on one body part, you're going to work on another body part, and that's kind of going to be the story of the match. In that regard, this was the best match of the show.
Wow. I love this match. I was into this match from the jump. I thought Tanahashi, you know, starting out hot, brawling outside, I actually enjoyed that. I actually thought that was a nice little element, a little spark. Tanahashi had enough of the bullshit from Naito. Enough of the disrespecting of the title. Enough of the, enough of the old man stuff. Enough of the, you know, again, he's showing them who's boss. I like that a lot. Khan, I think the biggest walk away from this spot, moment, whatever you want to call it, from this match has to be, we have to talk about this. High fly flow. Here comes Tanahashi, ready to launch from the top rope. Crosses his arms. Nakamura style, gives the signal, hits the high five flow. Unbelievable spot. I jumped out of my couch like I was on fire. That was a moment that I think many people will remember. And your thoughts?
Yeah, that was certainly a moment in New Japan history. I was just thinking that there were, let's see here, there were one, two, three, four, I think there was five rematches in total on this Dominion card, and each of the rematches was a different match than the original, which is, you know, no easy
task. Let me ask you this. So, okay, Takahashi Kushida was a rematch.
Right.
Better than the Dome?
That's the thing. I don't think it was better than the Dome. I think that it was its own animal.
Okay, but if you had to take one or the other, you're going to rewatch one or the other.
I'm taking the second one because I can get through it in 3 minutes. I don't have to waste the... No.
Oh, no. No, I mean, like, okay. Between Dominion and Wrestle Kingdom. So let's talk about the two big shows of the year, right?
Right.
Kushida, Takahashi, between their match at the Dome and their match at Dominion, which one you taking?
I'm going to take the match from Dominion that we just watched this morning.
Me too. I would too. All right. Naito, Tanahashi.
I might have to go Dome, although...
I might go this one.
I thought that this was equally good, though.
I thought this was really good. I thought this was better.
I really like the finish of this one, too.
There.
I enjoyed the finish with Tanahashi making Naito tap out in the middle of the ring in Osaka with the Texas Cloverleaf. I thought that was a nice touch.
I like the psychology of this match. Just like you said, you're going to work on the arm. I'm going to work on the leg. I like some of the callback spots that they had. I like the fire of Tanahashi. I enjoyed the spitting. I thought the spitting was appropriate.
And
right?
And notice the audience, you know, they they were on fire when Tanahashi spit on Naito.
Now think of this. Tanahashi, better match than the Dome, with an injury that he has.
With a torn bicep.
With a torn fucking bicep.
And they put the title on him.
Look, I mean, listen, I don't know. He can't be that hurt, right? To have a performance like that. Or maybe he is. I don't know.
But he's a torn bicep.
I mean, I don't know how anybody can not call him one of the greatest of all time. I just don't see how you could have that conversation and not have his name in that. That was a great match, and you know he's held together with scotch tape at this point. That's an incredible performance. That's an incredible performance. That's a gutsy performance by a pro wrestler right there.
Well, let me ask you this. So Tanahashi is now walking into these G1 special Long Beach shows as Intercontinental Champion. Who is his challenger?
Well, you would think it would be somebody that he can get a win over, right?
Right.
You would think. Well, let me ask you.
And maybe even more puzzling than that, where does Tetsuya Naito go next? Is there... Maybe we'll see a rematch at the G1 special.
No, I don't think you do three with Tanahashi Naito. I think Naito's done with that. I think he goes on to bigger and better things.
That's my hope.
Yeah, I think G1's going to be special, and I think that eventually we're working toward a dome. I'm thinking maybe like a Sonata.
A Sonata? Tanahashi and Sonata have had two very good to great matches last year. So that is not a bad choice. I even wouldn't mind an Evil.
Right.
I think that Tanahashi and Evil have had two very good matches as well.
I will say this, though. Usually when, and again, I'm using a term that I really don't quite understand myself, but bear with me, kids. If you defeat the boss, you don't really go back to other people in the pecking order, right? So you kind of move to the new faction, right? The way that...
That gives me an idea.
Uh-oh.
How about Hiroshi Tanahashi defending against the underboss, Bad Luck Fale? I mean, look, those two... If there's anyone who is going to get a good match out of the big Fale, Tanahashi is one of those guys. And we've seen it.
All right, but do you put that on Access TV?
I wouldn't.
I wouldn't do that.
But
I wouldn't do that.
You know, there is a potential challenger right there.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm thinking. At first I thought Sonata, but again, usually you don't go. You beat the big guy in the faction. Now I'm going to take on the middle of the road kind of guy. I don't know. It's a good question. I don't know. Colin, I'm going to be truthful. I don't know what the fuck they're going to do in these G1 shows. I have no idea.
I hope they know.
I mean, I'm sure they do. I mean, other than I think it's a safe statement to say that we're going to get Cody and Okada.
Yes.
You think we do Bushi Kushida on these shows?
Boy, that's not a very sexy match for New Japan's first time in the States with a live special on Access TV, Kushida versus Bushi. But, again, they're doing Okada versus Cody, so I guess it really doesn't matter.
I mean, I kind of see why they might do... I mean, I kind of see their train of thought in the sense of Okada and Cody and, Cody having a name here in the States.
Or so they think.
Well, right. Listen, there's plenty of people that like him. What are we going to do?
We don't know anything.
We don't know shit all. But I don't know what they're going to do with these shows. I don't know. I don't know who Tanahashi defends against. I'm going to say Sonata, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah, we shall see what happens.
Love the match. Colin, give me the flake.
4.5.
I think it was better than that.
Wow, dude. What are you going, 4.75?
Was that a 5-star match?
If you have to think about it, it wasn't.
Correct. I would agree. I would say we're ass hairs away. I would say we're in the same world. Remember when I gave Elgin and Naito, and I was like, oh, it's a great fucking match. I can't give it 5. You're right. If you have to think about it, it's not 5, and that's what I feel about this. Ass hairs away. I'll tell you what. This show, does anything get bumped out of your top matches of the year?
Does anything, in other words, that was already one of my matches of the year, did anything from this show bump it out of the way?
Yeah, yeah, out of your top three?
You know, I think it's too early to say just because the show is so fresh in my mind. I'm going to have to give that some thought. I mean, trust me, I think about my, you know, this year has been so insane as far
really
as
has.
Match quality goes that, Damon, I'm already, like, dreading trying to come up with a list for the end of year awards, because just think about everything that is still in front of us. Dude, we've got the G1 coming up. Do you realize that?
I know.
We've got the G1 Climax 27? Good Lord.
Could we, right now, we don't have to do it right now, obviously, we don't have time for this right now, but just a yes or no. Could we come up with 20 match of the years contenders, legitimate shot at being in the top three of match of the year?
Absolutely.
Could we have 20 right now?
Absolutely.
You think we could have 20?
We have four from the Tokyo Dome alone.
Right. I think we have, do we have four from this show?
Yeah, I think so. So, Okada and Omega, of course,
right.
Naito, Tanahashi, Kushida, Takahashi.
Right. We'll give it three.
Yeah.
Because again, if you want to quibble, you know, you don't want to put the junior match in there. I thought it was really good. I don't think it's match of the year talk, but I think we have three that could.
And the Nakanishi match, I think. I'm going to put that in there.
You can put that one in there?
Yeah.
I think we have legit three shots here. You go through the best of the Super Juniors, I think you have at least two, right?
Oh, yeah. The final, you have Ricochet and Osprey
right?
2.
Right. I mean,
I'm sure there's more that we're forgetting.
You know, and then again, we talked about Naito and Elgin. We talked about Shibata and Okada.
You've got... of course, Suzuki and Okada. I think a lot of people have that in their match
right.
of the year list. And Dragon Lee versus Takahashi from New Beginning.
Yeah. I mean.
Yeah, we can do 20. No problem.
And we did that without even trying. And we were just rattling off matches. Wow. What a fucking year this has been. Oh, my goodness gracious. What a year this has been. All right, let's talk about main event.
Yeah, and of course we arrive at the main event for the IWGP Heavyweight title, Okada versus Omega 2. Damon, did it live up to the hype?
Yes. Yes.
I'm in agreement. Yes,
yes
it did. Yes, it did. And boy, what a...
It did. It did.
What a near impossible task to do when you have a six-star match, arguably the greatest pro wrestling match in modern history, And to equal that in your follow-up, I mean, that just says so much, not only for Kazuchika Okada, who I said might be the greatest IWGP heavyweight champion of all time, but for Kenny Omega, arguably the best big match performer in the business today. A guy who, if I had a promotion, I would be, you know, hauling wheelbarrows full of cash, you know, to his house.
Oh, you know, we talked about after the Dome how his stock was, right? How promotions just are just salivating. And again, he had that little time off where it was up in the air. There was a lot of talk about where Kenny Omega was going to land. The buzz right now for him has got to be tremendous. The buzz for him right now has got to be what a talent.
I think that he can get a two-bedroom now in Orlando. That's
yeah?
how big the buzz is.
You think we can get a deck?
Yeah. Maybe a little patio area for sure.
Good for him. Good for him.
Pool access.
Wow. He's going to. Are we talking beachfront property or are we?
No, because this is going to be in the city somewhere.
Beachfront property. I think we got beachfront property. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
What a fucking talent, Colin. Colin is. I do a podcast and I'm at a loss for words.
I mean, what can we say about this match? I mean, well, how about this? What was your favorite spot from this match?
Probably the Rainmaker, where Kenny Omega, just out of complete exhaustion and desperation, Okada misses the Rainmaker. I thought that was just
Where Omega just collapses.
Yeah, and Omega's kind of. There's at one point he's just kind of throwing the punches at his stomach and Okada's no selling it. And he throws a punch and Okada grabs his wrist. And I was like, fuck yes. What an amazing spot.
How about the callbacks from Wrestle Kingdom? They did two of them. They did the
tables.
Yeah, the table callback, and they did the dragon suplex callback, which I was hoping. I was thinking, oh my god, are they going to do the dragon suplex off the top rope again? Dear god.
Yeah. What a joy to watch. What a pleasure to watch. Here's what this does, though. I think it's a guarantee we get the third installment, right? I think it's a now, Colin.
This confuses things now.
It does confuse things now. I think this. Here's what I. All right, look. It's not like they went out there and said, "Okay, we're going to go an hour against the wishes of New Japan Pro Wrestling." It's not like they did that. It's not like they went into business for themselves.
No.
So we knew that they had an hour canvas to work with. But I got to tell you, it felt to me like this was a Kenny Omega, fuck you, everyone. Look at what I can do. And I'm proving another point. I'm proving my point again. Now, where do we go from here? Where do we have round three? Where do we have this third match? Because, Colin, remember we were talking about Naito and Okada,
and
right?
I still feel like that's the direction where they're going, though, for the Dome. But
we waited 6 months for this.
Yeah.
And originally I was like, fuck it. I don't want to see them in a ring until the Dome again.
Right? I remember.
Right? Remember that?
And I remember I told you were wrong.
Well, okay. Maybe I am and maybe I'm not. But my point being is now, okay, we got round two. Where's round three happening? Where's round three? Now, remember when I said to you and to all of our faithful, why am I talking like this? I remember when I said that I had heard some chatter on the streets, Colin.
The streets again.
Remember I heard about East Coast being getting some love?
Yeah, I do seem to remember that. I was actually just thinking about that today, so it's funny you should mention that.
Now, I don't know dick all. Keep this in mind.
Oh, I know that.
But wouldn't that be something special? Wouldn't that be something nice?
Okada Omega 3 on the East Coast here in the States.
Again, I don't know dick all. But chitter chatter. Wouldn't that be something nice? Wouldn't that be something sweet?
And are we talking for 2017, Damon?
Yeah, within 17.
Hmm.
Within 17. Again, I could be dead wrong. Don't. I mean, but that's...
We're going to wake up tomorrow and all the dirt sheets.
I know, 9,000 things. Damon said, brah, Madison Square Garden.
Hey, I'm on board with that. I mean, if they can scrounge up enough cash to...
They're going
to
sell out Citi Field. Wait, hold on, guys. But
maybe the Hammerstein.
I think they could do a bigger building than that.
Ah, so do I. Because look at this Long Beach show.
Yeah.
Quite frankly, I mean, obviously there is no way for them to know this ahead of time, but I think they could have done like a 10,000 seat arena in California somewhere and filled it up. Considering the demand now for these tickets, I really do believe they could have done it.
Well, right now they're at like a, you know, 2,500, 3,000 spot, right?
3,000.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know. I mean, listen, the tickets went very quickly. But there is a big difference between 2,500 people and 10,000 people. Big difference.
Right.
This show is relying heavily upon people traveling to Long Beach.
I think the statistic that I saw was only 20% of ticket sales were from California residents.
Okay. So that's, you know, that says something, right? That says something.
Everybody's flying in to see Cody.
Everybody was flying in to see New Japan, right?
That's right.
And then it was, okay, let's roll the dice and see what we get. But yeah, people are traveling for this show because, you know, they felt like this, hey, I can't afford to go to Japan. I can't afford to take the time off to go to Japan. I can't, you know, I don't have a passport. Whatever the case may be. There's people that just can't make that happen for themselves in their lives. I have kids or whatever. So this, you know, they're stretching out their July 4th holiday. They're taking a little bit of time off, saving some pennies, and it's a little bit more affordable to get there. I get that. I would think that you need to do this Omega Okada 3 in this calendar year, right? Because again, the big challenge is Kenny going off and again with that beachfront property. That's a problem. That's an elephant in the room.
Right. And look, I'm going to be honest. I still think that that is his ultimate goal down the road. Once he ties up all of the loose ends that he still needs to in Japan. I know people don't like to hear that, but big picture, I think that's what he's thinking. Maybe I'm completely wrong.
I don't think he knows. I'll be truthful. I don't think he knows. I don't think he knows at this point. I don't think he knows. With that said, I think it's a safe statement to make that we need to have round three in 2017, right? We can't afford to. I mean, unless there's something in the works where he stays. I don't know if he does or he doesn't. But if that's the case, if he's staying, great. I'm saying we got to do three sometime soon, before. Do we change the dome? I guess that's my question, Colin. Are we changing the dome? We're not changing the dome main event, are we?
Based on this match?
Well, yeah.
No, I
no?
wouldn't. No, I don't think so.
You want to do round three in the Tokyo Dome?
Look, I'm still on the Naito train. Naito is still probably my favorite heavyweight wrestler in New Japan right now, and I think that he is still the most popular and the hottest. I still think, and again, we don't know anything, but I still see them going with Naito versus Okada at the Tokyo Dome.
After this show, you would not second guess that. I'm second guessing it.
I'm not going to write anything in stone ever. Mm-hmm. Okay. This is pro wrestling. Things can change at the drop of a dime, based on a lot of things ranging from, God forbid, injuries to whatever. Okay. So a lot can happen between now and Wrestle Kingdom 12. I don't know what the hell we're going to see, but
Colin, tell me the truth.
Go ahead.
Yeah, a little playfulness. You want to get choked again, don't you?
What?
You want to get choked, right? Come on. You want to see this again?
No.
You want this match again?
Of course I want this match again, but maybe not at Wrestle Kingdom 12. Maybe like you said, on
where?
The East Coast where I can actually,
Again, I don't know if that's happening or not. I don't even know if they have a building.
Right. Of course, we don't know anything, but I think that we can. I think we could even do this at a King of Pro Wrestling at Sumo Hall.
Yeah,
I think that'd be kind of cool, actually, to have this match in Sumo Hall.
Yeah. When are they announcing the G1 blocks?
That is an excellent question, Damon. Historically, we have gotten the G1 blocks on Dominion, but I guarantee you, once we upload this podcast, they will have announced the G1
blocks.
Yeah, I
know. You're probably right. It's you, Monday morning, we'll see it.
So, folks, we apologize, if there's a delay there, if they indeed do that. But, look, Damon, we've got a big summer ahead of us. Of course, we've got the G1 specials coming up July 1st and 2nd with the first night airing live on Access TV. And then we have got the G1 Climax 27, which is my favorite time of the year as a pro wrestling fan. And look, how could anyone argue that New Japan Pro Wrestling right now isn't leading the way in terms of booking, in terms of match quality, in terms of excitement? They are just Ichiban.
They're big shows. They're a big show promotion. That is for sure. There's no doubt about that. It's a good time to be. And again, you think you're missing out on some sleep now. Wait till that G1 rolls around. That's a struggle.
A lot of people coming into work all groggy.
Bleary-eyed. Yeah. Do I know that? All right. What a show. I mean, I think this is one of the best pro wrestling shows, top to bottom, that I've seen in many moons. It's got to rank right up there with one of the best. I think this is right up there with Tokyo Dome shows. I think this will get a lot of votes year end for show of the year. Thoroughly, a 5-hour show that, suit the nuts, from post-production interviews, video package, so it's a commitment to watch, but it flies by. You got an hour draw main event that was off the charts. And then semi-main events that were fantastic. One of the best shows I've seen.
And it's, you know, something? I may have enjoyed this show just a hair more than Wrestle Kingdom 11. And what does that say?
Yeah. I would not argue with people if they said that they enjoyed this more than they enjoyed a Wrestle Kingdom. Again, Wrestle Kingdom was, it's going to get plenty of votes. It's going to get lots of votes. It'll probably win. Let's be truthful. But this show, this is a top three show of the year at least. And I think it's an easy statement to say that this is one of my favorite shows that I've ever seen. Very good. An outstanding show. Really, really fun.
Well said, Damon, and I think it's time for us to head home here on the PureCast.
I can finally get to sleep. I've been running on pure alcohol and Red Bulls for 3 days.
It's like a college kid, I swear to God.
I don't know why I do this to my. Why am I? Yeah, I really do lead a Takahashi-esque, and I don't mean Yujiro. Lifestyle. I don't know what it is. I don't know what. Very self-destructive, Colin. I'm very self-destructive.
That's what worries me, because we have a podcast to do here each and every Sunday for our fine listeners, Damon.
That's true.
Gotta think of the kids.
You know, listen, the Rolling Stones were able to do it.
At Keith Richards. He's still alive and kicking.
I tell you what, I watched this documentary on the Stones. I know we're trying to go home, but what a crazy bunch of characters those kids were. Whew. I mean, they just, the Stones. All right, Colin, do me a favor.
Yes.
Let's wrap this up.
All righty. So, once again, we just want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in every Sunday to listen to Damon and I do our thing and review all of these great New Japan Pro Wrestling cards. Of course, NewJapanPuroCast.com is your one-stop shop for all things PuroCast. New episode is uploaded directly on there right after we record it, so usually on a Sunday evening. And, of course, then we're up on the Great Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network on a Monday afternoon. And like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and, of course, show some love to our great sponsor, Gaijin Collectibles, the best Puroresu merchandise shipped straight to your door right from Japan. Damon, any final words for today?
Real quick. So this week we'll have obviously this show. And again, I don't know exactly when we're going to put it up, but we're recording it next week. Again, if you guys and ladies, if you are looking to head off to Japan and Tokyo specifically and for the pro wrestling, again, I get a lot of questions and I try to answer as many as I can, but I think maybe the best resource that I could do, along with Eric, who runs the Real Hero Shop out there, all the videos, and we're gonna do a little show. We're gonna do a little podcast. We're gonna do a little Q&A and trying to give you guys the answers to all your questions of how much does this cost? Where do I get tickets? How do I get tickets? Where do I stay? What do I do? Where's this place? Where's that place? We're going to give it a one-stop shop for all of that. So we're going to work on that this week, which we're very excited for. I'm going to hand it over to Colin. I'm going to edit it down as much as I can. He'll pretty it up, and we'll have it up there for you guys. So a nice little resource for you guys who are looking to head overseas, head over to Japan, specifically Wrestle Kingdom and the shows that week. So hopefully that'll be a great resource for everyone, and I'm looking forward to it. It should be fun.
Very nice, Damon. So the next New Japan show is coming up the 20th, the 26th, and the 27th. The Kizuna Road shows from Korakuen. Those are the next ones on NJPWWorld.com. And you can be rest assured we'll be talking about them. So that's all for today, folks. So for Damon McDonald, my name is Colin Miller. We'll catch you guys next week right here on the New Japan Show. See ya.